Today we're starting a whole new series, theme, vision for the preaching for this year. Guard your heart. Guard your heart, and if you read the finer print, for everything you do flows from it. Guard your heart. I've shared it with a few people already pre this day, and so many people have said, oh yeah, we need this. We need to guard our hearts with everything that's going on in the world around us. We need to guard our hearts. Guard what is true. Guard what builds foundation and strength in our hearts. So today we start the new theme. Guard your heart. So I want to bring us into prayer now, into an understanding and asking God to speak through me to you so that you understand what God is saying to you personally. So let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for the testimonies we just heard. Thank you for the faith that comes through the testimonies. Thank you for the story that you have in our own life testimony. And the story that you give to us, the foundational strength given by your word, your promises, a place where faith steps in, where life is transformed because we have met you personally. And we pray this morning that we'll understand more at a greater level what it is to guard our own hearts and to help others guard their hearts, because everything is being challenged right now in our lives, in the world around us, in the things that come at us. So Lord, I pray that you speak through me this morning and our spiritual ears are ready to hear and receive what you have. In Jesus' name, amen. Hearts are fragile. Emotions are fragile. Struggles are fragile. I chose this picture because it's a heart made of snow. How fragile is that? Gets too hot, it's going to melt. You know, you drop it, it's going to break. It's formed in such a way that it's done lovingly and carefully. And God has done that for each one of us. He's given us hearts that are fragile, made with his tender love and care. He's given us emotions and understanding. He's given us hearts to understand things in the world around us. But a heart can so easily be torn or broken. Heart becomes vulnerable and fragile. Who here has had a broken heart? It's a bunch of hands going up. Remember those childhood crushes, you know, where you've gone up in fear and trepidation for the fellas, that is, from my point of view, from the fellas coming in fear and trepidation to go up to a girl and say, hey, would you go out with me? For those who remember those words, I don't know what they say today, but would you go out with me? And they'd turn and look at you and go, no, what for? And you have no idea the emotional stress that puts on the body as you go to ask those questions. Well, some of you have been in relationships and you think that you're fully sold, and then you find after some time that they say, no, actually, you're not for me anymore. The broken heart comes in. You'll know it. Some of you carry deep scars through a broken heart. But we know through the Lord Jesus Christ, He wants to restore our hearts and give us hope and not to break our hearts. In Proverbs 4:20, it says these words, "My child, pay attention." This is from Solomon writing in the Proverbs. "Pay attention to what I say. Turn your ear to my words. Do not let them out of your sight. Keep them within your heart, for they are life to those who find them and health to one's whole body. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Keep your mouth free of perversity. Keep corrupt talk from your lips, far from your lips. And let your eyes look straight ahead. Fix your gaze directly before you." It's so easy to be in that place where you feel so down and so out, and to walk just more or less just looking at your feet. Because you carry shame, you carry things in your past, you carry things in your life, you look at yourself and you don't think that you've got anything to offer. But the Lord says, keep careful thought to the paths for your feet and be steadfast in your ways. Do not turn to the right or the left, and keep your foot from evil. One thing I find fascinating about forgiveness through the Lord Jesus Christ is a restoration of your heart. I often sit with people and counsel with them in my office and other places, or spend time with them, recognizing that forgiveness brings freedom to your heart. And one thing that I encourage them to recognize and to know is you can walk straight. When forgiveness comes, the Lord takes all of your pain, suffering, sin, anger, fear, you name it. He takes it all and He offers you restoration and an ability to walk straight again. To see the world around you. I don't know where else you get that. I don't know where else you get that freedom for your heart to be restored again and to walk tall and to walk straight. As believers in the Lord, we have that place where we can walk. And I'm not saying self-righteously. I keep saying this, not self-righteously, just knowing Jesus has forgiven, and in that forgiveness you can walk and see the world around. Jesus makes it quite clear in one of his parables, you know, you build your house on the sand and what's going to happen? When does it fall over? When the storms come. So you can have a beautiful house on the beach, but it's not until the storms come, when the trouble comes, when things hit you badly. Never forget talking to my parents, you know, years ago. They had their house in Wollongong. And I said to them, being a surfer, of course, I said, "Why don't you buy the house at the beach?" And they said, "Well, in the 50s, nobody bought their houses near the beach because they were worried about the rust, and they were worried about the beach coming. And so the cheapest land back then was at the beach." Can you believe that? What about today? Building your house, which means your life on a foundation of sand, has no strength. But Jesus is saying, take my words, take my understanding, take my truth. This is the rock. Jesus is the rock. He is the word. He is the truth. Build your house on the rock. So when the storms come, there's strength and stability. Eva, how strong is that house you built on the coast? Okay. Because you had to chop out tons and tons and tons of granite. Is that right? Four years, because they had to chop all the granite out, but your house is not going to move ever. No. Just cost you a lot of money to get that right. But you know it's built strong. It's not going to be like this, okay? It's built strong. In 2 Timothy 1:14, guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Paul is talking to a young man, Timothy. He's saying, guard the good deposit that was entrusted. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. Guard the truth of the word, who Jesus is, what he's done, what it means for you. Guard it. And in 1 Timothy 6:20, it says, 1 Timothy 6:20. Timothy, guard what has been entrusted to your care. Turn away from godless chatter and opposing ideas of what is falsely called knowledge, which some have professed and in so doing have departed from their faith. How much godless chatter are we struggling with today? How much godless chatter are you dealing with in your daily walk or your daily workplace or where you're studying or what's happening or multimedia? There's a battle going on. There's a fight going on where darkness is trying to pull you away from the light of the truth. Guard your heart, please. Understand. Go back to foundational truth. This year, in this theme, as an eldership, we got together and had a retreat. As a staff team, we got together and had a retreat. And bringing them together, we believe that God's theme for us this week is to come back to foundational truth, to guard your heart with what's been entrusted to each one of us. What is the gospel entrusted to us? Who is Jesus entrusted to us? What are heresies? What happens? What takes you off on philosophical journeys? What are the foundations of the church and our understanding of the foundational belief system, the creed? We want to go back this year to rebuild what it means to be a believer in Jesus and to have that foundational truth put back in us. Because I don't know about you, but the things that come across my desk, the things that are coming through multimedia, this whole arguments, left, right, center, what is right, what's not right, where we're being taken on journeys and algorithms that are taking us down pathways and are confusing us. Do you know what I'm talking about? Do you get it? Antoinette said this morning, I want to go back to the Bible. The beauty of our faith is we have original copies, we have original words that go back thousands of years. So we have that foundational truth right here and ready and accessible. But the trouble is, we're now moving all into media and electronics. I'm not saying all media and electronics are bad. I'm just saying we need to be careful about what we pick up and what's coming through. I've got a classic video here, John Piper. And it'll just explain something, some of the thinking. So John Piper uses ChatGPT. Who knows what ChatGPT is? Okay, let's see what he says here. I'll see if this video comes through.
I asked ChatGPT. I typed in, please compose a 30-second prayer to God in the spirit and theology of Don Carson in praise to the glory of God's grace. Click. 3 seconds later, this is what I was given. Gracious Father, we bow before you, the sovereign Lord of history and redemption. From eternity past, you purposed to lavish grace upon undeserving sinners through the blood of your beloved Son. We praise you for the glory of your mercy, unearned, unmeasured, made manifest in Christ crucified and risen. May our lives, redeemed and sanctified by your Spirit, be vessels of praise to the riches of your grace. To you be glory forever and ever. Amen. That's a machine. I'm asking, is that praise? No! This people, these machines, honor me with their lips and their bites. And their heart is far from me. So let's clarify the purpose of the universe quick. I'm done. I got 19 seconds. Let's clarify. Why were you made? Words? Computers do words better than you. Seriously, better than me. Computers do words. They don't feel anything. Therefore, the universe is created to have people who feel. This is amazing. Think of it. The universe exists to have people in God's image who feel the worth of grace, who feel the glory of grace, who feel the beauty of grace, who feel the wonder of grace. And then everything in their life takes on a totally non-AI meaning of action and praise to God.
Yeah. It's a challenge, isn't it? When things get done for us, we can know intellectually, but do we know him in our hearts? This is the struggle we have. Do we know about him or do we know him personally? And this is an example of it. I'm not saying that the prayer is wrong, and he's not saying the prayer is wrong. Because throughout history, we've had prayer books and other people writing prayers. That's not wrong. What's wrong is when you let others do it for you and you don't have the heart in it. I want to make that clear. Because AI and other things can help, but it's a personal relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Grace is a free gift that Jesus gives. You feel it. There's this moment, there's this movement in you that you know Jesus is real. So guard your heart from the influences of things that are all being done for you to know all about him, but not have him in your heart. Throughout history, academics and others have read the Bible from beginning to end, can tell you so much in it, but haven't moved from their head to their heart. Moving faith from your head to your heart is transformative. And that's where conviction comes in. Opinion and conviction are two different places. I have an opinion that Jesus died on the cross, rose again. I have an opinion because I've read about it or understood it. It's very different to have a conviction. I believe that he died on the cross. I believe he rose again, and I'm willing to die for that. That's where conviction comes in. Opinion is, I believe it, but I'm not going to live it out because I just believe it. In my opinion, that's what happened. But it's very different when somebody comes up and says, will you die for Jesus? And you say, yes, I will, because he is my Lord and my Savior and he's in my heart. Jesus said in Matthew 15:7, you hypocrites, Isaiah was right when he prophesied about you. He's speaking this to the Pharisees. These people honor me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. They worship me in vain. Their teachings are merely human rules. So often in the Christian faith, it's looked upon as rules. Do this, do that. You can't do this, you can't do that. You follow the rules. It's not about rules. Why do we do what Jesus asked us to do? Because we want to, not because we have to. His rules are right, his work is right, but it's personal. I don't do everything that Helen tells me to do because I have to, because it's rules. And I don't do everything she asks me to do either. But I do what she asks because I love her. It's based on love. And sometimes I do things she hasn't asked me to do. And I win some brownie points. Sometimes I do things she hasn't asked me to do, and I shouldn't have done that either. Anyhow. Jesus called the crowd to him and said, listen and understand. What goes into somebody's mouth does not defile them, but what comes out of their mouth, that's what defiles them. It's not what goes in. You can be surrounded by rubbish, but it's what comes out, what you've protected. Above all else, guard your heart, for everything you do flows from it. Not what goes in, but what comes out. Guard your heart this year, rebuilding that foundation, understanding this movement from your head to your heart, to be in a place of protection and share it with others. So this year, the challenge is to guard your heart, to rebuild foundational truth, to move what you know intellectually to your heart, to find a place to share with others how they can find truth to their heart as well. Today we've got something as a reminder, and it's totally up to you if you'd like to take one or not. They're just these little hearts. Remember last year we had our little wristbands for those who have them. These are little love hearts. Believe it or not, they're also a little stressful. When you need a heart revived, you could just squeeze it if you like. On them there's little things written there, Jesus loves you, God loves you, and things like that. Just a reminder coming into this year that sometimes you get so stressed you need to hold on to your heart. And just a reminder, this year is about guarding your heart. So I'm going to lead us into a time of prayer now. And after prayer, I'm going to invite the worship team to come up. And during our time of worship, if you would like to come forward and take one of these, you're so welcome to do that. There are different colours. There's different words on them. When you come up, see what God is showing you, if you'd like to take one with you. If there's a member of the family or someone that's not here that you would like to take one for, you're welcome to do that. And maybe it's not for you. Maybe it's for somebody at your workplace, a prodigal. Maybe it's for, you know, someone in the family, and just asking or praying, or even holding them and you're praying for someone else's heart. However God shows you and puts it for you to do, you're welcome to do that. So I want to move into prayer now. And our worship team's welcome to come up. Dear Lord, guarding our hearts, what was entrusted to Timothy, Paul said, to guard. Jesus, the challenge that you put forward, that, you know, the words are there, but the heart is missing. Lord Jesus, it's a challenge for each one of us. What's happening in the world around us? War, rumors of war, natural disaster, confusion, changing of laws within this country, financial struggles, daily struggles, health struggles, accidents, injuries, pain, suffering, confusion. Just want to bring it all before you now, Lord. Help everything that's spinning around in our heads to be able to bring them before you. As I said at the beginning of the service, I pray it now again, Lord, to bring everything to you. And in our mind, the things that we're chasing or being worried about, some conspiracies or misinformation or trying to understand how we are to go in the next part, pray, Lord Jesus, you move from our head to our heart to recognize it is your grace that loves us, your gift of grace, that place where you forgive, the place where you restore, the place where you love, the place where you've created us to feel your presence. I pray now, right now, Lord Jesus, for the blockages, those who have put up a wall against you, put up a wall because they're scared. They're scared because they're worried about the things that they carry, the sin that they carry. Some of us caught in addiction, Lord, I pray that wall can be broken now in Jesus' name. I pray, Lord, that long journey from the head to the heart will start to move and move closer to you, Lord, to have that protection. And those here this morning with broken hearts, Lord Jesus, I pray that you can start mending them now. And for renewal of strength, and for renewal of joy, and for people to start walking out of this place with their heads held high, knowing that you love them intimately. Thank you, Jesus. Amen.